But it's a great set of scriptures. And I particularly love verse 52, where it says, "And the child Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man." Woohoo! It was good. It's always good to read scripture. Well, a couple confessions this morning. One of them is, these are my readers. And I'm going to use readers today because moving from the lodge to the parsonage, my glasses are there somewhere. And time was running out. So anyway, so these are the glasses today. But before we get started, I want you to think about a word, just a single word that reflects so much around this season, but it reflects really life all the time. And it's suddenly. You know, think Zechariah. He's doing his priestly duties like he has many, many, many times. And suddenly, Gabriel was there. And I was thinking about Gabe. And then pretty soon, there's this young girl, Mary. And suddenly, there was an angel there. And there's a bunch more suddenlies that are going to take place. But also, you should reflect on the suddenlies in your life. It's just like you're going along like normal, and then God intervenes in your life. Dr. Criswell, when he was pastor at First Baptist in Dallas-Fort Worth, okay, got that one right, Pat. I thought it, surely I'm going to say it, and it's going to be Houston or vice versa. But he talked a lot about the scarlet thread of redemption, and if you look at time as a like a tapestry that goes across a table, you know, like if you had on your table, you put a centerpiece in the middle and all this. But there's, if you looked real close, there would be a thread that would be labeled the life of Guy. And there was a point where the Lord weaved that scarlet thread of redemption into Guy's life. And if you could see this as a static event, you could see what your life would look like. You could see all of these different things. And I think, I'm going to use a Q word here, from a quantum standpoint, I think the Lord not only sees the beginning and the end of time in this tapestry, but I believe that he simultaneously experiences all of it. So for him, it's as fresh when he said, "Let there be light," as it was when the babe was born in a manger, as it was at the crucifixion, and as it will be upon the return. And the totality of it, and finding that balance in our lives as we walk through it, for us, things are suddenly, that is a static event for the Lord. And static doesn't mean bad in this, it's just that his experience has already encapsulated it. He knows. He knows. And yet we still make choice in there and we're responsible for our choices. The complexity of it is just phenomenal to me. I remember, and I'll say this about Josiah since he's arriving this week. He was in a class at Rolla. He was studying aerospace engineering, but they have all the other associated, like quantum physics classes and things like that. And he came home and I said, "Josiah, I'm going to tell you, I've just had this spectacular thing. I've been in Genesis, and you know, God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was." And he huffs at me. "Dad," he said, "we not only know that to be true, but we can prove that." And I'm thinking, wow, there's a secular university out there that can prove that God's right. I'm really impressed. I knew that all along, but good stuff. Well, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ's name, we come to you even right now, Lord. And God, I want to thank you for all the suddenlies that I've experienced in my life and that each one of us has in our lives. And Father, I want to thank you so much for the suddenlies to come. I thank you that at some point, suddenly, the end is upon us. I thank you for the suddenness of life and the suddenness of physical death and the suddenness of spiritual life, eternity, past, present, and future. God, give us the grace to just be ready. to keep our lamps full, our wicks trimmed. And help us to be the face of you to this community, God. Prepare us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bible with you, and you would, and you want to follow along, I'd turn to Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 39. And remember what's happened just before this is Mary had responded to Gabriel and said, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her. And then here we start. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. On that last line, the follow-up is how many times has God spoken and you've not believed what he said? You've not believed. And then how many times has he spoken and you have believed what he said? That's your choice that faces you day in and day out. And I am so incredibly blessed by these scriptures that we've been reading through this month. It's about people who kind of believed to really believed. In Sunday school this morning, it was great when we were talking about the shepherds, because remember with them, and we'll still deal with this, but not a whole lot today. But suddenly, Gabriel showed up again. And then suddenly, a host of angels were there. And suddenly, they believed. Do you remember when you first believed? When you first turned your heart to God? When you first accepted that gift of salvation, that gift of grace, and it became real for you, and you began to walk in the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, enveloping your heart of hearts and dwelling within you and making you that chosen vessel that he had prepared. This little section of scripture, it amazes me that in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, a few days later, Mary hurried to where Elizabeth and Zechariah lived. And when she got there, and she just greeted her older cousin. And when that happened, Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you. Well, how pregnant is she? Yeah, barely. Yeah, barely. Ever how long it was before it took her to go to Judea and to the hill country? Not long. It's not like she got on her cell phone and sent a text and said, hey, Elizabeth, I'm in the family way. Didn't get to do that. She didn't even get to pick up the landline and call because there wasn't one. Couldn't even go to the telegraph office and send a telegraph. So she just went. She was going to tell her. But she knew Elizabeth was in the family way. But as she arrives, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled and said, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said. She knew in her heart of hearts, being full of the Holy Ghost, she knew in her heart of hearts that when her baby, John the Baptist, leaped within her womb, what was going on? That in fact, he was responding to his Lord and his God, a baby that was barely in Mary's womb. Barely in Mary's womb. And Elizabeth knew it. Elizabeth knew it. And I like it. I like those times when I can look back and God said, and I knew in my heart of hearts the absolute truth, the efficacy of that. When God speaks, it's so. The question is always whether you choose to believe. And there used to be a a statement that was offset in Southern Baptist churches, and I'll just tell you in advance it's wrong. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And that is so wrong. God said it, and that settled it. If you want to get in on it, you got to believe. That's a simple thing. Elizabeth got that at that moment. She got it. Mary had gotten it. Zechariah, it took him a while to figure it out, but he got it. He got it. It's time to believe. When it's time to believe, it's time to believe wholeheartedly, body, soul, and spirit, will, intellect, and emotions. This was a time of, we think of as miracles. In fact, it's called normal Christianity. Normal Christianity. It's normal for us to believe when God speaks. It's normal for us to respond when God speaks by obedience. And it's not just like, oh, okay, God. It's like, woo, let's go do this. Let's go do this. And sometimes I confess to you that I've been kind of, okay, God. Now, what was that apostle's name? Thomas? Okay, let's go with him and die on the way. But he went. But how much the better to go, Lord, let's go. I'm on board. Where are you in it? Where are you at in this? You asked this morning in Sunday school, what's the most exciting thing, or what's one of the things that's very important to you around this Christmas season? And I try to remember. I think you said it. Think you said it about sense of wonder, or somebody said it anyway. Sense of wonder for me, that's it. Absolute wonder at what God made known to man. I always find it intriguing. Now, ladies, you should brace yourself. I always find it intriguing that the guy that had a shot at this didn't really want to believe, and the women were on board immediately. God spoke, and Zechariah goes, how do I know it's true? And God spoke, and Mary goes, bring it on. And God spoke, and Elizabeth brought it on. Ladies, keep after it. And guys, get on board. Get on board. This is not hard stuff. It's choosing life. It's choosing the only real life in the universe, the life of Christ himself. I think when Elizabeth said in verse 45, you are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. So if you want to be blessed, believe, act upon what God has said. And when he enlivens it to you and makes it special to you. You know, we talk about being called to preach, being called to do this or being called to do that. Something that I figured early and figured out early in my career, that you have many callings in your life. A lot of times. When God called me to preach, that's a gift, like all the gifts and callings that are without repentance. And you're going to do it. It doesn't matter what the modality is, you're going to do it. But then you look at the small things, like where is God calling you? What's God calling you to do? I feel as strong about when I first time I ran for sheriff. Some people came to me 3 days before filing closed. That means I got 3 days to decide what I'm going to do. And they came to me and they said, hey, would you run for sheriff? And I go, well, I got to pray about it. Well, you've only got 3 days. And I go, well, I've got to pray about it. Well, who are you going to pray with? Well, I'm going to pray, me. And I'm going to get with my wife and I'm going to pray with my wife. And I'm going to go to my pastor and I'm going to pray with him. And I need to hear from God. And they didn't get it. But that's okay, because it's not about them. It's about God. And so I did. Here's the question. Lord, am I supposed to do this? And God said, yes. So I did it. And I lost. And the next morning, it was a good run, but I lost 42% of the vote. And I wake up, Evie's gone to work, I'd taken the day off. And so I'm sitting in bed, and I had a conversation with God. It's called prayer. And I go, Lord, I'm going to say something that I've never said before, and I know it's wrong, but I'm going to say it anyway. And I go, I know it's not true, but I feel like you let me down. You know what he said? He said, it's not over. It's not over. And then I had a choice in front of me. Do I believe or do I not? So it's November, early November, day after the election, and I lost. And God said, it's not over. Now, the story is horrible, but I'm going to share it. The guy that I ran against, George, who'd been the long-term chief deputy, won. Took me 3 days to get through to George to congratulate him. And I started the night before, the night of the election, and never could get him, never could get him, never could get him, got him. And congratulated him, and he hung up on me. Bless his heart. If I was from Texas, that'd have a whole new meaning to it, wouldn't it? And then on January 1st, he was sworn in. And on January 10th, he committed suicide. And honestly, no one really knows why. I've read the report because, I wasn't sheriff, but I did read the report afterwards. Both the one that patrol did and the one that the county did. And then, so they have a quandary, and the order of affairs means that the prosecuting attorney is instantly appointed as the acting sheriff. And then the commission appoints an acting sheriff that takes over for the prosecutor, and then they schedule a special election. And so I prayed about it again, and God said, run. And then the way that works is the central committees of the two major parties get together and each one of them selects their candidate. Well, I didn't get selected. So I'm going, okay, God said to do this and I can't. Well, that's a mistake. The can't word is a mistake because God will make a way. God will make a way. For Mary, my ability to believe is so tiny compared to hers, because her ability to believe was, whatever God has said, let it be unto me. That's powerful. Well, a few days later, a city councilman came to me and said, a group of us got together and we think you should run. And I said, well, they've already made their choices. And he goes, well, no, we have a few days to do this, but we want to get together and do a petition drive and get you on the ballot. Okay, if you can do it, I'll do it. They did it. It got challenged. So we got together, talked about it, dumped it, had 3 days left. 3 days, it's always a great number. I like those 3 days. And we got more signatures that time, and they're stuck with it. So there's actually five of us on the ballot now. One Republican, one Democrat, three independents, of which I'm one. And we go, and the end result was it was kind of a landslide thing, but I got elected. But I will tell you that while with that 3 days was going on and we were getting it together on the ballot, I asked God another question. And I said, Lord, I didn't ask you the first time, and you don't have to answer, but I'm curious. I said, am I going to win? I will tell you from personal experience, it's more fun to win than lose. You may know that from personal experience too. And all he said was yes. And he was right. He was right. And then after 4 years, I'm asking the first question again, Lord, am I supposed to run for re-election? The answer was yes. And I said, well, Lord, again, you don't have to answer, but am I going to win? And he goes, yes. And he was right. I should tell you that. And then the next time, re-election. Let's see. So I've served 2 terms now. And the next time I'm going, well, Lord, do you want me to run again? And I would have been perfectly content not running again. But he said, yes. And I said, well, am I going to win? And he didn't say yes. He said, yes, and you're the only one that's going to run. And that's not the way the political system normally works. So on the last day, when filing closed at 5 p.m., I called Marvin Register, who was the county clerk, and on a cell phone, and he answers it, and he goes, Greg, it's no problem. It's 5 minutes after five. Nobody filed against you. And I said, well, praise God. And instantly, the Holy Spirit said, so are you going to repent? Well, I had planned on fundraisers. Why do you fundraise if nobody's running against you? And I had to repent. I hadn't done them, but nevertheless, I had planned. And sometimes, well, not sometimes, when God is interacting in your life, you've got to believe. You've got to believe. And if this all sounds out there, really wild stuff, it's called normal Christianity. It's called the normal outflow of the Christian walk. You're called to believe, and believe requires action. Action. It was just like that one I had shared with you before about the dark and stormy night. Evie's at a scout meeting, Josiah's at college, John is in his bedroom studying, and I'm leaving the house going to a SWAT briefing for a raid. And I come out across the back deck and get to the front and miss the next flight of stairs, come down to the bottom, and I know my feet are going to skip out from under me. I'm going to do a little break fall, and it'll hurt my arm and shoulder a little bit, but I'll be fine. Except what I knew was not the truth. My feet nailed it. I was like a gymnast, man. My feet nailed that spot, and then my rear end slammed into them, and all those quadriceps just busted off my kneecaps. And and I'm laying on the ground in the wind and the rain, and the pain is incredible. And God spoke to my heart. Gonna praise me now? Then I had a choice to make. Am I gonna praise him right then? And the answer was yes, I did. Did I understand? No. Did I accept? Yes. And in all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In all things, give thanks, for this is God's will for you. So in this case, Zechariah, how's this going to work? Mary, let it be unto me. Whatever you've said, God, let it be unto me. Is that you? When God speaks to you by expanding the scripture to you, when God speaks to you through wise counsel of fellow Christians, when God speaks to you in prayer, when God speaks to you, are you Mary or are you Zechariah? They both made it through till the end. One of them had 9 months of not talking, which I think was hard for him. One of them walked in glory. Which one are you? Now, I will tell you that after this occurred, and Elizabeth has said, you're blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. Boy, is that complicated? And then Mary responded, oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He's brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful For he made his promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever. And then Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then went back to her own home. You know, the culture was different. In our society, normally, a lady who's in the family way doesn't stay away from her husband for the next 3 months, or her husband-to-be for the next 3 months. But in this case, she did. And I think it's probably far more common. And you know, the travel that she did, that was pretty impressive. That's not the message. The message is her heart reflected in what I just read to you. Her heart seeing God at work through the ages. Her heart for the Lord God who worked through all those ages. The same Lord God that works in your heart today. So the question always begs, will you believe and will you act upon it? Not complex. It's an easy season. The season that we're in right now is a season of miracles. It's a season of suddenness. So when God suddenly speaks to, say your name, don't have to say it actually, to your name, think your name, will you be counted as a believer? I don't know. I don't know what God has in store for me, for Evie, for you all. I don't know altogether what God has in store for this church, but I know things that he's called us to do. To seek him with your whole heart. To follow him wherever he leads you. Be prepared to come. Be prepared to go. Be prepared to stay. But as he plants you, blossom. For this community, there's people in this community that I've just walked around and watched. Some of them I don't think I like. But I think that God's called us all to love them. God has called us to walk in the uncomfortable because the uncomfortable is where he tends to speak to us the most. Because when we have a little edge of we're not certain, always depend on the one to whom is certainty exists. You have to choose to not just seek God, but embrace him when he can be found. Follow, just like Mary, just like Mary. And sometimes we struggle in evangelical circles with Mary. I mean, what she said in there, she said, people are going to look at me as blessed among all women. That's a pretty boastful statement, except it was absolutely true. The truth always is a defining moment. So for you, for this season, believe. For you, for this season, seek his face. And for the next season, and the next season, and the next season. As you walk through this life, expect God. Expect his intervention in your life. Expect him when you're walking through really hard things. And remember him when you're walking through really easy things. I love it when David always ask God to make sure he has enough so he's not tempted to steal, and not too much so he's tempted to forget God. It's a good place to be a dependent Christian. Be dependent on the Lord all the time, because he certainly can put you there. And I just always go back to the lady that was complaining about medicine of the day. And she was hurt by her friends, and she was abandoned by her church, mainly because she was really sick, and they didn't know she was sick. And she was in bed most of the day, each day, for quite a period of time. All she had left to eat was oatmeal. That doesn't mean with milk or cream and sugar or maple syrup or honey, or just oatmeal. And if you've never tried that, it's pretty bland. And she was mad at God because that's all she had. And God was supposed to supply her every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And she wasn't happy about it. And so one of her friends one day showed up and found the mess that she was in and got her to the hospital. And they did all of those tests that are necessary and uncomfortable at times. Most of us don't like getting stuck with needles particularly. Most of us don't like being probed and all that good stuff. And now, of course, with ultrasounds and MRIs and CAT scans, it's a little more intriguing. But nevertheless, she's going through all of this and she's in her room and the doctor comes in and has the answers. And he said, you've got some particular problems. I'm going to put you on a very specialized diet that will take care of everything over a period of time. You're going to eat 3 meals a day of oatmeal with nothing in it. And I would point out that she had to repent because my God shall supply all of her need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So our circumstances don't dictate whether we believe. Our circumstances should not dictate whether we rejoice. The ability to repent, because I get this too, the ability to repent of a bad attitude and return, rejoice to the source of our joy, whether the baby in the manger, the king on the cross, or the risen Savior, it's Jesus. Return to Jesus. Forget about the other concerns. Return to Jesus. Follow him all the days of your life. And if you want to emulate somebody, emulate Mary. She did pretty good. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ's name, again, God, we come to you. And Father, I want to thank you for all things. Because truly, Lord, you work all things together for good in our lives to make us more like you. And Father, make us like you. Mold us and make us over. Father, I ask you to let not only individuals in this church be made over in your image, but this church be made into what the bride is supposed to look like. Father, let us honor you and walk in ways that bless you and strengthen your kingdom, God. Let us be those ambassadors for Christ that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. For invitation today, and so music people, let's do our thing. We'll get the smoother eventually. It's hard when they don't know when I'm going to stop. I don't know when I'm going to stop. I heard Evie. Today, you know if you've got attitude that should change. And if you do, repent of it. Repent of it. Remember who's supposed to be on the throne of your heart. The question comes down, is it you? Is it God? Is it you? Is it God? You choose. Because he's a gentleman. You have to choose. Let today be a day of new life in Christ. More exciting times. Drive down that stake saying, from this point forward, all that I am, all that I've got, all that I'm not, Yod, I'm yours, Lord. And if you're sitting here and you've never asked Jesus into your heart and you go, you know, you say things like this almost every Sunday. Well, and I'm going to tell you, I had a meeting with some other pastors in town, Methodist, Lutheran, Catholic, Presbyterian, and I don't know what else. And I told them that sometimes even Southern Baptists come to Christ. Sometimes we deceive our own selves. Don't be deceived. If today is your day, I always remember the minister of music at the largest Southern Baptist church in Jefferson City. And I remember a pastor in Anchorage that had been in the ministry for 23 years. Two separate people, two separate states, both in the ministry for years on end. One day came to Christ and life was so much better. If you're sitting here and you're a believer, you've got that nailed down, and you've never been baptized, all baptism is a public statement of your faith, illustrated by the death and burial of Jesus Christ and following him in his resurrection. It's a simple thing. Then you should be baptized. If it's membership, do the membership thing. And you go, is membership important? Yes, no. You're welcome here. But there's a commitment. It's the difference between dating and marriage. We'd like you to be family with us, but that's a choice. And if you fit into any of those today, let today be the day that you follow the Lord and what he'd have for you. What are we singing? Come behold the wondrous mystery. Lead on.